Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. And even within that, a lot of times we record these things, several weeks ahead of time. And just recently we had the deaths of the two police officers here in Hattiesburg. Our heart and prayers are with their families. And that's a tragedy for us in this area. And I know many feel the same way, and our hearts and prayers go out to their families and so many others that have lost their lives recently. And we think about them often. And we're just thankful for their service and all of those who put on the uniform every day, whether it's in the military, whether it's police officers, firefighters, ambulance drivers, things of this nature, all those who put their lives at risk for others. We appreciate that, and we pray for your families. And before we get started today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. As we come today, Father, we just thank you for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we had ever deserved. And Father, we just pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will in all things, Father. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us according to your tender will and mercy. Father, we pray that you would bless in this service. Father, you know what we stand in need of today, even to preach your word. Help us to preach it according to your word, according to your truth. And Father, that your will could be accomplished in all things. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, we pray that we'd step aside and give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. So we come today, we started off last week talking about a controversial subject about homosexuality, and even bringing the marriage issue involved, and realistically trying to show you where Christianity stands and where they come from. And I know for many of our listeners, they're churchgoers, they kind of know these things. And for others that might be listening or not, you might listen. And we tried to say last week, as we went through and showed you some scriptures from Genesis, from Leviticus, and even from Romans, how that it's not about hatred, and how that Christians, as we love all people, we have to stand for truth. And as a minister, every sin has to be preached against. And I've told people years ago that the biggest problem that I've ever had in preaching in churches is preaching on the sin of adultery or fornication. Those two things have been more of controversy for people, because you got people that are guilty of it. And a lot of people don't even know what church is. They think it's a group of holier-than-thou people, and that's not what it is. I'm not saying there's not people that act that way in church. I mean, you've got sinners in church. You've got people that go to church that aren't even saved. They've never trusted in Christ and try to use religion to make themselves feel better than somebody else. You have that. And I try to deal with all those aspects according to the Word of God. And, I have people that say, well, you don't need to preach on modesty, and you don't need to preach on, fornication, or you don't need to preach on divorce or adultery, or it's amazing when sin hits an individual, that individual doesn't like that sin. And it's no different with the sin of homosexuality, that when you touch on that subject, people automatically get offended. And it's just like when I preach about alcohol or preach about any number of different subjects, there's something eventually you're going to hit on that upsets people. Whether it's self-righteousness, and you can be a liberal self-righteous person, you can be a conservative self-righteous person. Self-righteousness doesn't have a political party, or doesn't have a political group. I've met self-righteous in about every fashion that there is in years of moving around the country while my dad was in the military, and coming across people and different things. And I've seen self-righteousness on many levels, and all of us have it to an extent. But the truth of the gospel is what has to be preached. And the thing is, as a Christian, that I pray that people understand, is that we believe we don't preach against sin, that our hands are not going to be clean. I'll refer you to Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel 33, that if we don't sound the trumpet, if we don't testify that something's wrong, that people need to repent and trust Christ, that we're going to be held guilty before God on that. Again, we're not enforcers. We're just sharing with you the judgment of God so you know it. And what you do with that is your choice. But we're living in a day and time where people want to call it hate speech. There's people that want to call, say that Christians shouldn't be allowed to own businesses if they stand on these beliefs. And you got to understand, I wish people would study the history of the First Amendment of the Constitution. I mean, it's saying that the government has no authority to pass a law that would violate a person's conscience to God. That's the real emphasis of that amendment, that First Amendment, dealing with religion, is that the government has no right to pass a law that would infringe upon somebody's religious views. I mean, and people say, well, religion's just supposed to be in church. No, it's about our everyday lives. Many people feel like their businesses and everything that they do is a reflection of their Christianity. And, of course, you get into schools, you get into churches, you get into a lot of other things. This becomes very important to Christians. And our life is just not about going to church and not about being in private with our Christianity. It's about everything that we take part in. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't grasp that. And we see as, you know, there's some people that believe, you know, well, if I make a cake for this and it's not according to God, or if I take pictures at this and it's not according to the will of God, you know, I mean, people even take this, which our founders actually believed is why they had soldiers submit to follow the Constitution and not just their generals or not just the president, that their main, when they're raising their right hand, that they're to uphold and defend the Constitution against both enemies, foreign and domestic. The reason that is because if their commanding general or even their president gave them an order that violated their conscience before God, they'd say, no, I'm not doing that. And they did it for that express purpose. And with that choice, comes a lot of consequences for a lot of different people. But that's what freedom is about. Freedom of choice. Freedom of conscience. And we've lost that in America. Over the past 100 years, we've passed so many laws. And now the bureaucracies, not even our congressmen and senators are passing the law, but the bureaucracies are laying things on top of people. That's just insane. I know I could go into a lot of that. I'm not going to try to spend our time on all that those things. But I want to take us to Scripture, because we're also dealing with a day and time that there's a lot of people calling themselves Christians, and, oh, if you're a real Christian, then you'll believe Christ this way, and, oh, you know, your Bible's wrong on this. Well, who are you to tell somebody else what their religious views should be? You have the freedom to believe different. And I defend people's view to believe different than me, you know, to the utmost. I've defended atheists before. I've defended Catholics before. And if you listen to this program you know my view on the Catholic religion and even on other religions. But I would still defend their right to be who they are and their right to do things that I might even totally disagree with. You know, because I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in these things. I believe in the country that we were founded to be. And I could go on and on. I don't want to just get it into that. I want to take Scripture and show that the Bible is clear that this is a sin. I tried to do that last week again with Genesis chapter 2, Leviticus 18, Leviticus chapter 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, Mark chapter 10, verse 4 through 9. We dealt with these things last week, And I'm going to show even more scripture that I hear a lot of people saying, oh, if Christians were really Christian, they wouldn't be against the sin of homosexuality. And the Bible's clear that we should. And with the First Amendment. And again, that goes into laws, even into our private business. Now, this was, you know, government-run operations, and they were getting involved in this, you would hear me make a different outcry. Because the government doesn't have the same rights as a private individual has. But a private individual, a private business, should have the right in their privately run stuff to make choices based upon their beliefs, even if it's things that I totally disagree with. There are things that Muslims do that I totally disagree with. But if they have a privately run business and say they want to serve some kind of meal and they don't want to have bacon in it, I can totally disagree with that, but that's all right. There's some restaurant owners that don't serve alcohol. You know, we've even got to the place that a private business owner can't even choose to whether he can have a smoking, a non-smoking section, or all these other things. What's bad for the workers? Well, the worker chooses where to go. That should be left to the private business owner. It should be left to the customers that go there. We've so left capitalism and free market systems, and I hear a lot of things blamed on capitalism today, and I'm like, where is it? We don't use it. We don't believe in the free market system anymore, evidently. And we don't believe in religious liberty anymore. That people should be allowed to do things, even if you disagree with it. And we've even passed laws that go against that. And just because a law is passed, don't make it right. There used to be laws that said slavery was okay. There used to be laws that said the federal government could segregate schools, or the state government could segregate schools. And again, I don't believe the government should have any part in that. There's a difference between private individuals and the government. And dividing those lines is very important. But nevertheless, I want to get to some scripture. Because I've had people say, well, this isn't in scripture. This is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. And as we read here, he talked about in verse 9, you'll notice there's a lot of scriptures dealt with here. There's a lot of different sins that I've read from here. And if you've listened to this program long, you know that we preach against all these sins. And of course, there's ways you can avoid in your business and in everything else being dealt with a lot of these things. As the personal choices that you make as a private owner, as a private citizen, individual. But we're in a day now that the sin of homosexuality is trying to be forced on people and forced on businesses. As with some other things. But dealing with that one today, it says here, nor effeminate. The word effeminate here comes from the Greek word, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm not the biggest Greek scholar, but it comes from malakos. That's M-A-L-A-K-O-S, if you want to look it up. That's the Greek word used here for effeminate. And it means characteristics of a woman, or unmanly. And he's teaching here that men are to be men. Now that doesn't mean we're all to be weightlifters and we're all to be, you know, soldiers and football players. What it means when it talks about manly is fulfilling the role of a man as God has set it forth in the Scripture. That you're accountable, that you're the head of your home, that, you know, how you're to be honest in your dealings, how you're to take responsibility for your own actions, things of this nature. That's what he's really getting into. And also, of course, not acting in a fashion that would be a woman. That would be in our speech and our dress and many other things that he'd be dealing with there. He also talks about that we're not to be effeminate. Also, he talked about people that would be abusers. He said, are abusers of themselves with mankind. The word abusers there comes from the Greek word arsenokoitis, if I'm pronouncing that right. That's arsenokoites. And that's pretty much the word in Greek for homosexual. So I'm going to try to make it something else, but kind of hard to argue what the meaning of the word is. It's literally talking about a homosexual lifestyle. Some try to make it something else, and you know, but as Christians, as we study our Bible and look into this, and somebody might even want to believe the other things, but it's hard to disagree with it. Of course, some people don't like debate, they don't like talk, they don't like somebody disagreeing with them on anything. But it's hard for a Christian to study these things and not say, that's talking about the sin of homosexuality. It's hard to get around that fact. You know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11, it really deals with this also. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Let me read verse 9. It says, knowing this, because I want to give context to this. He's talking about the law. The Old Testament law. Some people say, we're no longer under the law. We're not under the authority of it. But still, the law tells us what God likes and what He doesn't like. He said, you know, the law is good in verse 8, if a man use it lawfully. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And the word there, defile, comes from the same word as was used in abusers back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Which is the word that represents homosexual. Arsenokoitis. Excuse me again if I pronounce it wrong. You'll have to forgive me on that. But it's pretty plain in the Scripture. For anybody that does their homework, that God is against that sin, that it's a sin. And it's one that's named multiple times in the Bible. Not just in present. I mean, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. And it talks again about marriage. And we dealt with this some last week about how it said in Mark chapter 10, how Jesus spoke and said, you know, God created them male and female, that the husband would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I mean, we dealt with these things. That every time that you see marriage brought up, it's husband, wife. And even there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says to avoid fornication. It's not even dealing with the sin of homosexuality directly. It's dealing with the sin of fornication, any sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage. Which meant, if you've listened to this program long, you've heard me preach about that sin. But it says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Again, it comes back to, in a marriage, there's a husband, there's a wife. And they're to render due benevolence unto each other. I mean, it's hard for Christians to get around that. And they have the freedom. In this nation, they're supposed to have the freedom to believe that and practice that. And there's to be no law passed by Congress. There's to be no law placed upon them. It's what the First Amendment of the Constitution says that would violate that. That would violate their conscience. And we've gone against that. But for the first nearly 200 years of our existence in this nation, that amendment was well understood, that it went not only into your private life, but that it went into your to the life that you go out into the world, that when you start a business, that no government should be forcing upon you anything that would violate your conscience to God. That would go to restaurants being forced to serve alcohol. I've known of you know, businesses, hotel owners, more locally than big corporations or anything, but I've known, you know, bed and breakfasts in places like this, that they'll ask you before you come, you know, are y'all married? You're not staying in the same room in the business that we have. What are they doing? They're saying, we practice our Christianity, and we are against the sin of fornication, so if you're not married, we're not going to allow you to pay and buy this room. Shouldn't they have that right? It's what we always existed on until recent history. And some people say, well, this law was passed or this judgment was made. It don't make it right. Our Supreme Court once ruled that slavery was fine. Our Supreme Court once ruled that the federal government segregating schools was fine. And state governments doing it was fine. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it constitutional. And there's going to be people that stand up and say, I cannot take part in something that would hinder me in my condition to God. We need to know who Christians are. We believe this stuff fervently. Over the centuries, you go back and study us for things less than this we were killed for. For simply preaching the resurrection we were killed for. And again, it's not about hatred. It's about standing upon their principles, their belief. You know, that there was one of the bakers that when they were asked to do a wedding cake, they sit there and place their hand in other people's hand and said, listen, this isn't hatred. This isn't about you. And they would have gladly made them. Some people like to compare this stuff to Jim Crow laws and all that. That's so ridiculous. And let me explain why. They were willing to serve people. They just said, in this instance, we feel that it violates our conscience to make this wedding cake or to do flowers for this event. Which is their right? Which is supposed to be in this country above everything else, they're right, whether you agree with it or not. And they're standing upon things that I'm reading to you in the Bible of why. And the thing is, as Christians, see, we believe if people don't repent and believe the gospel, they'll lift their eyes in hell. I hear people say, oh, it's hatred for you to preach that. Listen, we believe a person that sits on a church pew all their life that doesn't repent and trust in Christ is going to hell. And we have to be able to stand up for our convictions. That's what religious liberty is. And some people say, well, it's stomping on somebody else's rights. Who's stomping them on them from living together? Is there a law passed that says homosexuals can't live together? That's being enforced anywhere? Even in these people doing this, are they stopping them from getting a cake somewhere else? Are they stopping them from even in states where they allow them to join together? Is it even stopping that? It's not, is it? It's those individuals practicing their right to say, I refuse because of my convictions. And if you'd listen to the people, you'd hear it's not out of hatred. It's about their conscience before God. And you can disagree with that. But you should fight for that right. And again, I could talk about a lot of other scriptures. You know, I had somebody tell me that Sodom wasn't killed because of homosexuality. It wasn't destroyed because of homosexuality. Of course, Genesis 19, verse 1 through 3, I think, 1 through 13, teaches something different. But, and I also believe Jude, verse 7, teaches something different. They go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 46 through 51. And I find people that are willing just to throw out all kinds of things. there's even people that claim to be Christians, and they're willing to throw the Bible under the rug. And this bothers me. It greatly bothers me that we're throwing religious liberty and freedom so under the bus to accomplish somebody else's goal or wish. I wish we'd go back and read the... things like the Articles of Confederation, things like the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers. Man, there's so much history on this stuff. And we've thrown so much of it away. You know, for Christians, they read about sodomites. They read about women not wearing the clothing of men. And there's a lot of Christians that have thrown that away too. You know, from Deuteronomy 23:17, that talks about a lot of things that Christians shouldn't be forced to take part of, whether they're in business or not. Private businesses should be allowed their freedom. And if we're stomping all that out, what's going to happen to the economy? What are we doing? And over what? Somebody disagrees with you? Now somebody's going to make a stand. What? There's not enough people out there? There's not enough choices out there for people to buy from somebody else, to do business with somebody else? See, this gets back to we don't believe in free markets. We don't believe in liberty. And it's going to come that schools are going to be shut down. Or their tax exemption will be removed from them, which will lead to them not receiving money. Which will lead to less colleges, less teachers, because we don't like what this Baptist college stands for. Trust me, it's coming. And I say Baptist college, it could be Methodist, you know, or whatever. And they're already talking about it. They're already talking about how they'll take away tax exemption from churches that preach these doctrines. Where are we going with this? What's happened to freedom of religion? And again, it's not about hate. I know a lot of people like to turn to Romans chapter 13. And they like to read there about, you know, love is a perfecting of law. You know where the first love is supposed to be in Christians? It's to be in keeping the law of God. It's the number one responsibility of a Christian is to keep the law of God. Is to live it in their life, that His law would be in our hearts. And I pray that you understand that maybe there's a homosexual that's listened to me. Listen, I've got a friend of mine that's a homosexual that I've known all my life. I've had people that I've worked with at different businesses when I was a waiter in college, and when I was even worked for Domino's Pizza. I actually had a boss that was a homosexual. And I worked for her just as well as I would anybody else. They knew my feelings, they knew my beliefs, but they knew when I came to work. So much of this is just taken so out of context, and people don't even know. It's hard to get the emotions out of the way, isn't it? But I hope you understand from a Christian standpoint, we believe we have to preach against sin so that people will repent and come to the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. You may totally disagree with that, but shouldn't in a free world we have that liberty? It's just something to ponder. It's something we need to heavily ask ourselves. And again, my prayer for people is that they repent and trust in Christ. That's what I'm going to stand on. What are we standing on today? This will be the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this simple message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that's accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.